Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
.114-109 was your final. The Pelicans, give them credit. They shot the ball 52% from three. They made 20 threes tonight. And they turned 16 Warrior turnovers into 25 points.
Warriors This Week continues on 95.7 The Game.
Tim Roy on the call last night as the Golden State Warriors lose to the New Orleans Pelicans. Now at the number 10 seed. One game remains on this year's campaign. That'll be against the Utah Jazz. And then everything will shake out. We'll know where the Golden State Warriors are, either at the 10, 9, or potentially if they sneak in at the number 8, but that's going to need a minor miracle, and the Portland Trailblazers would have to beat the Sacramento Kings in Sacramento. Really quick, the 5-0 on the Comcast text line, I was referring to how the play-in game, relatively new, 2022 is when it started. It's a bit gimmicky. The play-in game is 100% money grab. With that being said, you know, we're talking about the Warriors, if they play at home, if they get the number 9 seed, or if they go on the road, will they take on the Los Angeles Lakers or the Sacramento Kings? Which team are you more comfortable playing? And the Warriors playing on the road is not a big deal when you think about their road record, which has been decisively better this year. And at home, inexplicably, and one of the weirdest things in sports in recent memory, they're 500 at 2020. You want me to explain it? I can't. I have no idea why they held a 500 team and not good at home this year, why they were so dominant at home last year. While it may not mean a lot to some people, maybe the Warriors are a better team on the road, better suited to play on the road in that play-in game. You know who's one guy who would like to see that game?
Joe Lacob.
At home. That's right. It's Joe Lacob. And the reason being, that's an extra, some reportedly,
something like $6 million or something,
yeah,
for every home game.
$8 million.
Something like that. Maybe say, yeah, something like that.
So yeah, definitely want to see that game at home.
There was a moment last night. I was at Chase Center doing pre and post here on 95.7 The Game, and it was, I think it might have been maybe between the third and fourth quarters or some timeout in the second half, when they bring out like the hype crew and they throw the shirts into the stands, right? And one of the members of the hype crew who was throwing the shirts into the stands was planted right in front of Joe Lacob on the sideline throwing the shirts into the stands. And the Jumbotron focused on that particular member of the hype crew. And you see Joe Lacob sitting courtside in his owner seats, you know, both feet firmly on the ground, arms crossed over like on his chest, hands in his lap. And just has no emotions on his face. Clearly, wow, just frustrated. And that's how he's looked for a lot of this season. And you can understand it. 20-20 at Chase Center. And we think about how weird last year was. They won last year, 44 games last year, despite winning just 11 on the road. They won 33 games at home last year.
Crazy.
33, and now they're 20-20. It makes no sense. Absolutely no sense. But Joe Lacob, you're right. He wants at least one more home game. He's going to get one tomorrow. He wants at least one more than that. No guarantee he gets it. But this has been, I'm sure, an incredibly frustrating last 2 years now for him.
I got a quick Joe Lacob story because I got to make things all about me and make myself sound somewhat self-important here because I'm, you know, like a lot of other people, I'm insecure when it gets down to the end of the day. So it was last year, and I had a friend in town, and we wanted to go to the Celtics game. And so I had another company, and we had dealt with Joe Lacob's. They had a venture capitalist sort of extension or sort of an arm of the Golden State Warriors, where they were sort of a VC, and they did a lot of investing in sports-related products. And so we had a product, and we actually met with them and had good conversations, didn't really go anywhere, but because I had that previous relationship, I felt as though when I had access to Joe Lacob that I could reach out to him and that he could do me a solid and maybe just give me a couple of tickets to the game because, you know, we were talking about potentially being, you know, a company that he and his financial team were going to invest in. So I reached out to him via email and he said, "Hey, Dan, yeah, sure." And so he referred me to somebody else who I was unfamiliar with. And yeah. I'm like, "Oh, wow, this is awesome, man. I'm getting two freebies with the Golden State Warriors." He's like, "Yeah, call. I want you to call this guy." So I reached out to this other gentleman who just basically said, "Yeah, Dan, where do you want to sit?" And I'm like, "This is sweet, getting hooked up by the Warriors." I told him, you know, generally where I'd like to sit. And
well,
then
you said courtside, huh?
Yeah, no, I didn't go there. But then he just basically laid out the price structure, which essentially was as if you were to walk up and buy a ticket the same, you were getting the exact same price I was. So essentially, Joe Lacob was just like, "Yeah, sure, let me just take you to my sales department. You can go buy."
Yeah, call 888-GSW-HOOP.
That's exactly
Dan.
What it was that I was doing. So
it's
I guess
a great timeout, Dan.
The point being in all of that is that he is very much about a bottom line and making money, right?
I mean,
there's a reason why, you know, business tycoons get to where it is, where you're at a point where you can buy an NBA franchise.
It's not by losing money.
Exactly. So playing another game is certainly on the agenda for one Joe Lacob and company. I mentioned and I teased Klay Thompson at the break. Listen, Klay has played so much better. And we could talk about, maybe get into Klay Thompson, because I think it's getting down to that time. And there's, you know, it's interesting to note, I think, that his connective tissues or whatever ties he has to the Golden State Warriors could officially end this week. Should the Warriors lose, Klay Thompson no longer is a part of the Golden State Warriors. He's a free agent. The Warriors can bid for his services, just like everybody else in the NBA, but he has no longer any contractual connection to that of the Golden State Warriors.
There is a chance tomorrow is his last game at Chase Center as a Warrior.
Well put.
There's a chance.
And I think it's a good chance. I think it's going to come down to money. Because
I think he probably returns, but I don't feel great about it. But
well, there's it really if I'm Klay or if I'm his agent, it's just I guess if I'm Klay, and I like to believe that somebody called from Tiburon that he's bought into the area. He's swimming in Tiburon, he's got Rocco.
He's got his boat.
This is home. I know there was an article earlier this week. I think Tim Kawakami of The Athletic was talking about Orlando. Was it Tim or somebody? Might have been somebody
recall.
Had a story about him potentially going to Orlando.
Orlando's been floated a lot. They have money to spend, and they desperately need shooters.
Exactly. He ain't going to Orlando. Because at some point, I think when you get later in life as a player in your mid-30s, much like that of LeBron James, there's talk about he potentially could go somewhere. I think that there's the quality of life is something you have to factor in. And it's not necessarily after you've made your money and you've got the bag on a couple of occasions, it's about where you put your head down every night. And he's a Bay Area guy. He may not want that to be public, and he's certainly not going to use that because it's all about leverage at this point. But I think Klay Thompson, listen, I lived in Orlando when I was with the WWE and I had to do NXT games. It's Florida, but it ain't Miami, man. It's the middle of Florida.
You're
ain't
landlocked.
No water in Orlando.
Yep.
So there's the Villages. What's the Villages? It's the biggest retirement community in the world. I'm talking, it's like a city of these old goats. My mom's in a retirement community. My apologies. It's literally the Villages. I'm telling you, you ought to go check it out if you're in Orlando. It's not just a retirement home or a couple of homes. It's a city with stop signs, grocery stores, golf courses, and all of these old people that all got their MAGA hats on, by the way. So you might want to stay away. But that aside, he ain't going to Orlando. He may get more money, but I think that really quality of life has to factor in at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And while Orlando might be a good basketball fit, I'm with you. I mean, this is a guy with a boat. I'm not sure Orlando really fits in for him. But there will be a lot of teams who are maybe willing to offer Klay Thompson more money than the Warriors would want.
Oh, no, they will.
There will
if
be.
Somebody comes
there's,
in.
I mean, there's like probably 20, 23 teams out there who would be willing to offer Klay Thompson a contract, considering how he's played like the last 3 months now.
And he did this last year. We came on towards the end of the season. He can still be that guy. To me, he has really become a feast or famine basketball player. Like, if Steph has it going from the outside and is shooting threes, you just ride him. Like, he can carry you for a quarter or can carry you through stretches of a game. If he's not, that's why I liked him coming off the bench, then it's not a big deal. Just sit him down again. He's not a guy that can get on track by getting to the rim, or a guy that can score out of the post, or is going to help you by rebounding or assisting the basketball. No, he's become this one-trick pony. I shoot it, and if I got it going, well, then I'm a good basketball player, but there are chances that I don't have it tonight, and that consistency has really been what sort of plagued him over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it has been. And if you're Klay and you're considering your options this offseason, I don't know how you feel, Dan, but as I try to go inside the mind of Klay Thompson, it's always been relatively apparent to me that much like Kevin Durant, obviously these guys care about how much money they're making and making sure they're well off financially and well compensated, but these guys just want to play basketball.
Yeah.
They just want a ball. Klay and KD are cut from the same cloth in that regard. Just playing basketball is what's best for them. I think for Klay, when it comes to a contract and how much he's being paid, it's less about how much he's making and his finances and setting his family up, because he's already done that. And obviously he was already relatively well off because his dad was an NBA player as well. Like, it's not about that for Klay. I think he thinks of a contract more as
pride.
Yeah, pride. It's like, it's a sign of status, not monetary, not financial status, but it's a sign of, I'm a great basketball player still. And I think he desperately wants that. And maybe he's come off of that a little bit, because if you heard the way he talked on the Draymond Green show last week when that came out, and he talked about the four heart-to-hearts he's had with Steve Kerr and how he's realized to not tie his self-worth to how he's playing on the basketball court and all that, maybe it's not quite as strong of a feeling for Klay anymore in terms of wanting that contract and wanting that money to show himself and to show the rest of the world that I'm still one of the best players on the planet. But I still think there is some of that for Klay, where he might want the money as a sign of pride, as a sign of status in the league, as opposed to just saying like, yeah, I deserve this money, I need this money. It's more so, all right, pat myself on the back, I'm still really damn good at this game of basketball.
Yeah, and more specifically, as it relates to the Golden State Warriors, I think he looks at the core and he says, okay, if you gave Draymond Green $25 million last year for four years, you can't come in lower than that.
At least you got to give me that.
And so I think the Warriors offered him that over the offseason, if you were to believe reports.
Two for 48, so 24 a year, right around there, yeah.
And so I'm curious as to whether the Warriors come down from that, because I think for him to play for the Warriors next year, it ain't going to be 43 mil per, which is what he's pulling down now, but it's going to be closer in the neighborhood of 20 in order for it to make sense for the Golden State Warriors. And then the ball is just simply going to be in his court. Do you want to play for close to $20, $21 million a year when you can make potentially 30 in Orlando? So I think that that's something he's going to have to grapple with.
And I also think when we talk about guys like Klay and KD, who are just so, they're just hoopers. They just love to hoop. In the past, maybe it was an easier decision for Klay, and I know Klay got the bag, got the giant contract the last couple of times he was up, but if this is a dude who just loves to play basketball so much, there was no better place to do it than here. Like, the basketball decision was the easiest of it all. Like, this is basketball nirvana. Like, it was for the last 8 years, or the last time he signed the contract, it was for the last number of years. is this basketball nirvana anymore? No, not really. I don't know if that factors in at all. Klay obviously has emotional ties to everyone in this franchise as well. But if you're a hooper who loves to play a fun brand, a good brand of basketball and win games, I mean, the other half of this is, does Klay feel like this is the best place for his skill set anymore? Who knows?
And it could be mutual. The Warriors may feel at his age and the direction they want to go that they need to get younger. I don't know where Dunleavy and company are at as it relates to Klay Thompson and the future of this basketball team. And they may not know until, you know, you get to that point, whether that's a month from now or a couple of weeks from now, in terms of what it is that you want to do with Klay Thompson, Andrew Wiggins. I think Draymond's coming back, and I think Steph is coming back. Those are a couple of guarantees, but Kevon Looney, is Jonathan Kuminga back up on the trade block? What are you doing with some of these youngsters if they become assets to bring back that much coveted basketball player that could be the number two as far as a consistent score to go along with Steph Curry? I do want to touch on Klay Thompson, because if you listen to the show from time to time, I'll talk about heat checks. I can't stand it.
Uh-oh.
I think heat checks are one of the worst things. However, they've, you know, I don't know how, for whatever reason, they've been accepted, or even teams and coaches are like, well, he's on a heat check, so, you know, he's earned that shot. And I think one of the biggest offenders is Klay Thompson. Klay is the other guy with Steph who can get his shot off, and there's not many of those with the Golden State Warriors. You need Klay Thompson, and he's been so very good to this team. But this idea, just fundamentally, that I've hit my last couple of shots, therefore, the next time I get it, I'm jacking this thing regardless of wherever the hell I am. I could be leaning sideways, and there's going to be two dudes in my grill. I'm letting it go because I'm in a zone. I get it, riding a guy. If a guy's got it going, go ahead and feed him. But you could still be judicious with that shot. You could still shoot it from long range, but you still have to have a good look at it, and your shoulders should still be square to the hoop. But he takes it, you know, he takes it to different lengths. And understandably, because in the back of his head, he's still saying, I hit 37 and a quarter. I'm Klay Thompson. I'm game six Klay. That's still the world he's living in. That's not reality. And as it relates to last night, I knew it. I could set my watch to it.
Yeah.
They got within three. And a lot of it had to do with Klay Thompson hitting some key threes. I know he was going back and throwing some verbal darts at CJ, and they were chirping at each other. But I knew it. And he got the ball. They were down three, and there's a little bit more than a minute to go. The game is hanging in the balance. And Klay Thompson got that early in the clock, on the wing, had a guy in his face. It was not a good look, and he let it rip. Why? Because he's in a heat check. He's got a heat check. He's been hitting his last couple of shots, and what happened after that miss, which was way off, he clanked that thing. He bricked hard. It led to a leak out, a run out the other way. CJ McCollum got the bucket and harm. It was a three-point play. Warriors down six, game over. And I've seen this repeatedly, not relegated to Klay Thompson, but this idea that a coach is like, well, he earned that. It's a heat check. He's earned the opportunity to shoot it from anywhere on the floor. It should never be accepted by a head coach for an ill-advised basketball shot, for a guy who is leaning on 1 foot, 35 feet from the hoop with two guys in his face. Never should that be part of what it is that you're trying to execute offensively. And so the idea of a heat check needs to be abolished. If I was a head coach and I ever heard that phrase, well, it's a heat check. He's been hitting the last couple of shots. He's earned the right to shoot that 1 footer from 50 feet. Hell no. A bad shot is a bad shot, and it cost the Warriors dearly last night. Down three, Klay Thompson on the right wing from well beyond 25 feet, rushed his shot early in the shot clock that led to three the other way, and the Warriors were never able to recoup from that.
Have you seen the movie The Big Short, Dan?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
great movie.
Great movie. So it's a movie about the Great Recession,
the housing crisis of 2008.
The housing crisis, yeah. And how there were a number of people on Wall Street who foresaw it coming, and they shorted certain stocks and made a ton of money off of it. But it's a really fun movie because they kind of break the third wall and they like explain things, because there's a lot of crazy financial and terms, and so they look straight at the camera and they explain things to you. And there's a moment in that movie where they're at, I don't know if it's a roulette table, they're playing some kind of cards or wagering game in a casino, and they're explaining the hot hand fallacy, right? They're explaining it, and in the background there is a person wearing a Klay Thompson jersey. I kid you not, go back and watch The Big Short and look for this scene. I don't remember if it was craps or roulette or whatever it was that they were playing. They're explaining the hot hand fallacy and why there's no statistical basis for when you make a couple, when you're heating up, you have the same exact chance of winning the next one, making the next shot, as you do that you did for the first one. There's no statistical basis for the hot hand fallacy, for the heat check, as you lay out. But it's always so funny.
That's
because
hilarious.
The movie makers made a really good decision, the filmmakers, to put a Klay Thompson jersey in the background to help explain the hot hand fallacy. I can't help but think about that scene in the movie The Big Short whenever someone talks about hot hands or heat checks, as you just did. So I wanted to bring that up because it is, when I saw it for the first time, I laughed out loud because I know Klay believes in the heat check. He believes in the hot hand. But you're right, it did not pay off for him.
It was really costly, I felt, last night. It really was. It was a bad decision. And even Steve Kerr, the shot of Steve Kerr is like, no, we didn't just do that.
I think you saw Chris Paul upset as well on the floor.
888-957-9570. Let's get back out to the phone lines. Los Altos. Oh, George, what do you got? Let's go to George. How are you, buddy?
Hey, how are you guys? You know, in terms of first of all, I don't think they'll ever ban a heat check, because I don't know how you ban player DNA, which is what these guys have, especially when they're prolific. You just hope they get smarter in situations like that. And I think Klay is capable of that. I really do. Whoever thought that he'd be willing to accept coming off the bench, he's now embraced it. So hopefully he'll learn on stuff like last night and eventually know when to pass the ball and not take a dumb shot. But overall, I just can't imagine Klay Thompson leaving the Warriors and the Warriors not working out something in order to retain him. I think that Joe Lacob, while he's a man who likes to make a profit and doesn't want to get nailed on luxury tax, let's not forget he spent $400 million for the Golden State Warriors and now worth $5.5 billion. So I think that core stays together. What really concerns me is what do we have to give up in order to attract some new blood in here? And it's very, very little. What can we get for Andrew? I mean, he's too up and down. You don't know what you're going to get. The only guy out there that anyone would be interested in giving us is Kuminga.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a heartbreaker. But really, who else do we have? On the positive side, I'm just so encouraged by Trace Jackson Davis and Brandon Pajemski. These kids, man, especially TJD, he knows how to play. And I just don't know, unfortunately, if the big three can wait two more years in order for them to fully develop. So I realize I'm rattling on, but I just wanted to just give you my 2 cents worth, guys.
No, good job, George. And a lot to chew on there. I would agree with you that Jonathan Kuminga is the one asset. I think that if you are going to bring back a player, his name is going to surface. But unlike the trade deadline, where he was not the sort of player he has become since then, that becomes a really difficult decision to make if you're Dunleavy and company. But I think if you're the Warriors, yeah, you can dress up that pig by throwing, you know, Wiggins and Looney and Chris Paul on the expiring contract. But really, what is it that you're going to get back? But if I'm a GM, I'd be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then I hear Jonathan Kuminga's name. Now I sit up and begin to take notice. He's the one asset. Is he a guy that maybe gets put back out there in terms of bringing back value for the Warriors going forward?
Yeah, we can get into this on the other side. We got about a minute left before we got to hit a break. But when you say, like, the Warriors need to blow it up, they can't run it back, my mind immediately goes to exactly what you and George are talking about. What do you mean by blow it up? What does that look like? Does that just mean shed all this salary and be bad? At least be a not an expensive bad basketball team instead of a very expensive mediocre basketball team? Because the only way that you could get some decent players in here is if you're willing to move on from Jonathan Kuminga. You're not getting much for Wiggins. You're not getting much for Draymond if you trade him, although I would not expect that to happen. Klay is a free agent. You don't have currently an ability to go out and sign anybody because you're over the tax as it stands right now. You're probably going to decline Chris Paul's option. No doubt he's been good for you this year. You're probably not going to have him back. You're going to have to make a decision on Kevon Looney. Like, there's very little room for the Warriors to make a number of moves that make them immediately better. Now, they can improve in the margins, sure, like an Otto Porter and a Nemanja Bjelica from the championship year. Could they swing something like that? Yeah, but if you're talking about getting another legitimate starting quality player in here, you're going to have to say goodbye to Kuminga to do that, and I don't think they want to do that.
All right, we'll talk about it. We'll also revisit, once again, the play-in as it relates to the Warriors and all the potential scenarios to go off tomorrow as they take on the Utah Jazz to close out the season. Mark Grandy and Dan Abone wrap up Warriors this week when we continue after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Williamson over on the far wing to Murphy. Guarded by Thompson. Here comes Jones with a screen. Paul guarding Murphy. Murphy with five to shoot. Dribbles into a 30-footer and hit it! Wow!
It stings a lot.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Tim Roy on the call last night describing Trey Murphy in one of his many threes as the New Orleans Pelicans collectively as a team hit 20 threes, 24 points for Trey Murphy. They hit eight consecutive threes in that pivotal second quarter, including going 10 of 13 from behind the stripe, and that really spilled the end of the Golden State Warriors as they conclude their season tomorrow against the Utah Jazz. As it sits right now, they are the number 10 seed. Will they get in as a 9? Will they stay at a 10? Could they sneak in as the 8? That'll all be determined when they finish the campaign, as I mentioned, against Utah. Everybody, by the way, will play at 12:30. All the action can be heard here on 95.7 The Game. I talked about, you know, Trey Murphy, as well as the rest of some of those youngsters on that team. Herb Jones, Dyson Daniels, Alvarado, all guys that were drafted by that of the New Orleans Pelicans. The Pelicans have done a really good job over the last couple of years.
They're good.
As far as putting that team together. And the reason why I wanted to start there is because to get back of our conversation going back about an hour ago, We talked about, well, dynasties just simply don't end well. And you're hard-pressed to find a quote-unquote dynasty team that was able to keep it going and change personnel and still be a top-tier team or a team that's winning titles in respective of whatever sport. So I would say that the Golden State Warriors had that opportunity. At least there was the chance for them to maintain that level of winning when they had those multiple lottery picks, which is so unusual for a team that is so good, still has your stars, and they're still at this point in your early 30s. And the Warriors, for lack of a better term, blew it. Their chance to go out, because I was also reading on the Comcast text line that more than one person wants to see Alperen Şengün via trade come to the Golden State Warriors.
Could have drafted him.
You could have had Tyrese Halliburton. You could have had, was it Trey Murphy that was available?
You could have had Trey Murphy.
So a lot of the players that the New Orleans Pelicans were able to get via the draft. And that, to go along with Steph Curry and younger players that are coming up with experience and the balance with your veterans, now you've got something you can sink your teeth into as far as the future. But whether we want to dust off Bob Myers and put him back up on the dartboard, I'm not necessarily going there. But it was a missed opportunity, I think, when you look back in retrospect.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we were talking earlier about how, you know, the team needs a number two, and maybe Kuminga isn't that number two yet, or maybe you feel like he is. Whatever the case is, if he is your number two, he's just not quite good enough to be a number two on a championship team. Maybe he can be a two in the NBA. Maybe that NBA team just simply won't be very good. The Warriors are really feeling their missed draft picks right now. Like, you mentioned some of the guys. I mean, Tyrese Halliburton is one. That's kind of one that people are...
A lot of people missed on him.
Yeah, a lot of people did. That's one that's easy to throw out. Now, you might have thought he was the guy to pick that draft, and kudos to you. You identified him better than maybe the Warriors did. Like, congratulations. But missing James Wiseman and only getting, as a result of James Wiseman, getting Gary Payton II back after you let him walk. That's what the pick turned into for you. And you also gave up 4 second-round picks to get it done. Like, the Warriors are really, really feeling that missed pick specifically. Kuminga, 7th overall, you could say that was a miss. I would tend to disagree, or at the very least say the jury's still out. Moses Moody in the teens. All right, you know, yeah, you could have had Trey Murphy III. Whatever, you could say that for every single pick that the Warriors have made, or that any team makes. But you're really feeling the miss of James Wiseman, number two overall. Because if you just pick someone that at the very least was a starter on this team, doesn't have to be a superstar, does not have to be Anthony Edwards type, does not have to be Tyrese Halliburton type, that is just a consistent starter that could get you like 16 points and 7 rebounds, this team would look entirely different. So they're really, really feeling that. And as we try to figure out how this Warriors team moves forward, the one area that is hurting them the most is that missed draft pick. I mean, you talked about the Spurs earlier, Dan, when we were talking about dynasties that survived through like multiple cores. The Spurs, the beginning of the Spurs dynasty was that, kind of. They had the Admiral, David Robinson, and then they lucked into the first overall pick and they picked Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to call it a blueprint, that is the blueprint. You have to be extremely lucky for it to work. The Warriors got lucky, kind of, in the sense that they had one terrible year and they got a really high draft pick, but they did not luck out because that draft pick did not work. It worked for the Spurs. They drafted their next Hall of Famer, paired him with great value picks around him in Ginobili and Tony Parker, and then later on Kawhi Leonard, and they won more championships. The Warriors, though, are feeling the miss of James Wiseman. They were trying to find their Tim Duncan, and they got Gary Payton II instead.
I mean, I can understand the risk. At the time, I was a big James Wiseman fan. I think that anybody who's 7 feet, one with his wingspan and his potential and the ability to be sort of a poor man's Wembanyama, if you will, is worth the risk. I know a lot of people redrafting would go LaMelo Ball, who went right after James Wiseman in 2020. I'm not a LaMelo Ball guy. I know he's a star, although he's often hurt, much like that of his brother. I'd much rather have his brother Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball, to me, is more of a Warrior fit.
Lonzo hasn't played like two and a half
years.
No,
yeah, exactly. Well, both of them are, yeah, they're both, you know, dealing with injuries. But I'm just saying, in the perfect world, if they're healthy, LaMelo Ball, to me, just never was sort of a Golden State Warrior. That guy had no interest in defense. He is... Yeah, you know, he's exciting to watch, but listen, that's a conversation for another time. Oh, Ananobi was in that draft, certainly a player that they could have and certainly could use right now. But it certainly set them back in the franchise in arrears when you're talking about missing on one James Wiseman, that 2020 pick. But when we think about the Golden State Warriors and this year's draft, and just what is it that they're going to do? You talked about this, and we teased this at the break. What does blowing it up really mean? And you're right, you're sort of limited. I think your hands are sort of tied as far as what it is that you can do, which means that I think the only way you can make a significant change when you're not entertaining peripheral pieces, as you mentioned, the Jermichael Greens of the world or the Bielitzas or the Otto Porters, if you're talking about getting an impact player, well then, what are your assets? Well, they're draft picks, and it's Jonathan Kuminga, I think, at the end of the day.
In terms of meaningful assets, yes.
In terms of meaningful assets, yes, you can throw in Andrew Wiggins and you can package a Chris Paul, but in order to get down to some meat and potatoes, I think Jonathan Kuminga is going to be the one name that's going to be bantered about. Are you or is anybody else out there, 888-957-9570, are you willing to move off of Jonathan Kuminga after what it is that you've seen, the body of work, and keep in mind that the guy's only 21 years of age, to bring back a player that could finally, right now, plug and play and be that number two to Steph Curry. As Steph Curry gets older, I think we all recognize you become more reliant on somebody else to carry that load.
It depends who it is. I'm not doing it for just anybody. Jonathan Kuminga has had his moments this year, more than moments. That's selling him short. He's been really good for long stretches this season. He's had some moments of frustration, but that's what you expect for a 21-year-old. We hold him to such a high standard because this is a basketball team that has a history of winning championships, and anything short of a championship feels like a failure. And as a result, Kuminga gets held to those standards that he did not set, but it's the reality of what it means to play for the Warriors. So I think Jonathan Kuminga is a fantastic piece, and if the Warriors did not have as much pressure as they do right now to win basketball games and to win playoff series right now, this would not be a conversation. The Warriors would be, and it doesn't mean they are not doing this behind the scenes, but the Warriors and their fans would be fully embracing Jonathan Kuminga as the future, but because you're trying to chase one last legitimate chance at a championship, then Kuminga gets floated as a possible trade piece. I don't want to trade Jonathan Kuminga. I think I'm resigned to the fact that this team, as currently constructed, is not winning another championship. And if you're not winning another championship, don't give up your best young piece to try to do it. They're not winning again. They're not. So keep Jonathan Kuminga, and maybe you get a little bit cheaper elsewhere, and you understand you're going to go through a not the best year or two at the end of Steph Curry's career, but give yourself the best chance beyond that. And to me, at least on your current roster, Jonathan Kuminga gives you that best chance. And also, don't trade draft picks, because there's a very real chance those picks are going to be early in the draft, because you might not be very good the next couple of years.
The one thing about Jonathan Kuminga that sometimes we fail to recognize or talk about, and that is, I think he's a good guy. You know, it was easy that it was a foregone conclusion for me, at least. And if you listen to my shows, you know that I was not a Jordan Poole fan. That's putting it mildly. A year ago, even at the midway point of that season, I told everybody, this dude's out the door. He just didn't fit from a personality standpoint. Another reason why it's hard to move off of Jonathan Kuminga, I think Jonathan Kuminga sort of fits in. I think Jonathan Kuminga, I know that, you know, he was sort of the problem child early on in the season when it wasn't him necessarily, but some of his minions or members of his team were asking for more playing time from that of Steve Kerr doing it indirectly. But I think Jonathan Kuminga's got sort of that infectious smile. I think he's got, I mean, look, he was a teenager when he joined the team. So there's going to be, you know, there's going to be maturity, obviously, that he needs to develop and grow up as a man. But I also think that comparing him to a Jordan Poole or players of the past that were young and had talent, I think that this is a guy that is also somebody that, you know, you like being around. And sometimes at the end of the day, as far as culture is concerned, it's as important as anything else.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. And I think also when we have this conversation about blowing it up this offseason, there's a lot of people out there, and I've seen some of the confusion both on our YouTube chat, youtube.com/957thegame, and on the Xfinity mobile text line, 888-957-9570. You brought up Alperen Şengün. I've seen a couple of others mentioned as well. Lauri Markkanen on the Utah Jazz mentioned as potential targets the Warriors should
Alex
go
Caruso.
After. Alex Caruso. If you think that the Warriors, just by declining Chris Paul's option and not re-signing Klay, if you think that gives them and affords them to the space to go and sign a major free agent or to take on another major contract, flatly, you're wrong. Like, you can't do that. The reason the Warriors can re-sign Klay, even though they are over the salary cap, is because they have Klay's bird rights. For a player who you own the bird rights to, you can re-sign them even if you already are over the salary cap. But say a player like Markkanen hits the market, and the Warriors are over the salary cap, they can't just go out and sign him. They don't have his bird rights. You can't sign any old guy if you're over the salary cap. And the Warriors are so over the salary cap right now that getting rid of Chris Paul's $30 million, which they are very likely going to do, say you don't re-sign Klay Thompson, say you decline Kevon Looney's option, although it's not really an option, it's more of we'll pay you $3 million instead of the full $9 million just to go away. That's the decision facing the Warriors this offseason for Looney. Say they do all that, you still just barely get to the edge of the salary cap. And you can't go out and then make a gigantic signing and go right back over, especially when Joe Lacob has said our goal 1A is to get out of the tax entirely, not the second apron, not the first apron, the tax entirely. Now, maybe he goes back against that, who knows, but that's what he stated as the goal this offseason. And even if you do that, it does not mean that suddenly there's $50 million up for grabs that you can hand out to anybody. That's not how it works. It is so incredibly difficult now in the NBA to, one, be above the salary cap because you're getting dinged not only by the tax, but also by now paying future draft picks if you continue to be over the salary cap year after year after year. But you're also extremely limited in who you can even think about signing, because you don't own bird rights to all these free agents out there. And if you're already over the cap, you could say bye-bye to all of those guys.
Well put. 510, let Devone punch it. There you go, your shout-out. I'm assuming that's my jacket guy. Let's get back out to the phone lines in the final moments of the show at 888-957-9570. Off to Atlanta and say hello to Tommy. Tommy, what's up, man?
How you guys doing? I don't agree with the move on from Jonathan Minga talk and trade him to see what we can do to add to the dynasty. The dynasty is over. They should be talking about what they can get to add to Jonathan Minga. You know, this is really mind blowing to me. About you have a young kid who's a developing star. He's already your number two. He's averaging 19.5 points per game since given the starting role. No team is going to give you another player averaging 19, 20 points a game. You know, you try to trade him, you're just going to make another team happy. That's crazy. But that's all I have to say. Thank you, guys.
No, Tommy, and it's something that they have to take into consideration, and it might be the reason why they don't shop him. And Tommy's spot on. I think a lot of people recognize that it's not so much where he's at this year, and the numbers have been very good since he got into the starting lineup, but it's about the projections on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where you live with Jonathan Kuminga, is that he's 21 years old. Imagine where he's at when he's 23, 24, 25. He hasn't even scratch the surface when you talk about getting into his prime. So all that will be taken into consideration. I guess the reason why we mention him is if we're talking about, and here comes that line again, timelines and matching windows and timelines without a Steph Curry, and you don't have the big assets aside from Jonathan Kuminga, well then how then do you lure that significant, impactful basketball player to the Warriors.
Yeah, it's the million-dollar question for the Warriors this offseason. And I also want to clear up something else. This question also came in on the Xfinity Mobile text line from the 209 about 20 minutes ago now, asking about Stephen Curry and other Warriors players to restructure their contracts like you do in the NFL. Not allowed in the NBA. You can't restructure like that. So that's off the table. Stephen Curry is being paid $50 million this year and $50 million and change next year and beyond. Like, he's getting all of that. You're not restructuring that deal. You are locked in to that amount of money for the Warriors and Stephen Curry. Bottom line. So you can't go back on that. Like, you see the Niners get super creative with the way that they're paying out their contracts and giving bonuses early to lower the salary cap hit this year. You can't do that in the NBA.
See, Grant, I'm glad you're here. He handles all the financial questions that are beyond my scope. We'll try and knock out. I see the phone lines lighting up here. Maybe we can take a couple of calls before we get out of here. 888-957-9570. The Golden State Warriors wrap things up against Utah. We're talking about what are you going to do over the offseason? Where do you think the Golden State Warriors will end up when it's all said and done with? As far as the play-in is concerned, as far as the playoffs are concerned, can you see them getting to the playoffs this year? It's going to be a difficult, difficult road to hoe because you got to win two games, maybe both on the road, and then take on the number one seed out of the Western Conference. Oh, there he is. Phil Moe, where you been? The show's almost over. Let's get out to San Francisco. Phil Moe Mike joins us. What's up, Phil Moe?
Oh, man. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. You feel me? Dan, I didn't know you was hella old, but you look good as hell for your age, bro, on some real talk. Anyway, I'm disappointed in the loss last night, but I just want to say to all my Warrior fans, man, don't give up hope. Don't give up, because you never know what can happen, and that's the beauty of sports. We never know if we're going to go on a run or not. And I love my Warriors. I'm disappointed in the loss last night, but I'm just saying this to say this. We got to love ourselves, baby. We have to love ourselves, man. And I swear to God, I'm sorry for calling in so late. I didn't realize y'all only go to 12 now. I hate that. Y'all need to go back to 1.
I hear you, Filmo. Talk to management, man. I would talk to you all day. Thanks, Filmo. How about that? Getting a little philosophical. Love yourself as well as the Golden State Warriors. That sounds like information that might be best suited for one Draymond Green.
Yeah, maybe. Also, something Klay Thompson said post-game last night, kind of interesting. He was asked how the locker room feels right now after the loss to the Pelicans. Here's what Klay said.
All we can ask for is a chance, and we got that. And I personally feel great playing a game team high at 38 minutes, so I feel wonderful.
I feel wonderful, says Klay.
That's good, but he ain't going to see the floor tomorrow, I don't think.
38 minutes for Klay last night.
Yeah, 38 minutes, and I think Klay sits, I think Steph sits, I think Draymond sits, and I don't know if GP2 will be back, and I have no idea what the status is when it comes to one Jonathan Kuminga, but I think everybody sits, because I think rest at this point, and Steve Kerr tipped his hand. I think Steve Kerr let all of us know that rest is more important than having the home court advantage against either Sacramento or the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, here was Steve last night.
Could you be resting some guys on Sunday?
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah. He would go on to explain why, but that's the bottom line. So we got a couple minutes left, Dan. Why don't you call your shot? What seed do the Warriors finish in?
Oh, you know I'm doing stuff like
8,
this.
9, or 10, and who are they playing? Who are they playing in the first game of the play-in?
I think that it's going to be the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors, and that game's going to be played in Los Angeles. No. Well, the Lakers would have to lose in order for them to take on the Lakers. The Lakers would have to lose, right?
In order for them to play the Lakers would have to lose.
And so then they would have the Warriors would have the home court advantage.
Unless the Warriors lose to Utah.
Well, I'm assuming they're going to beat Utah. And I think the Warriors will play the Lakers.
So Warriors 9, Lakers 10 is what you're predicting.
Exactly.
Okay.
And I think the Warriors beat the Lakers in that first game, but I think that the Warriors at New Orleans is probably where that second round is going to be in the play-in. I think because It could be the Pelicans in Sacramento in the 7-8, but maybe not. It could be Phoenix.
It could be Phoenix and Sacramento in the 7-8 as well. I'll go Warriors Kings is what I'm predicting.
Where? In Sacramento.
I think Lakers, Kings, Warriors all win tomorrow. I think the Lakers are going to win in New Orleans. I think the Warriors are going to win against Utah, and the Kings are going to win against the Trailblazers, which means as it's set up right now, it'll stay that way. Lakers 8, Kings 9, Warriors 10. I'm picking Kings, Warriors in Sacramento in the 9-10
game. You know, this reminds me of, I remember talking to Gary Payton, not GP2, but the real Gary Payton.
The OG.
The OG, and I talked to Gary Payton, and it was a playoff series, and I remember going through all these scenarios, and he's, man, just play damn basketball. Just play basketball. It's all I want to do is play basketball. And that's kind of applicable here. You know what? That's my answer. Just play basketball. At the end of the day, you can only control what's in front of you. You just got to go hoop. Like, all those scenarios mean nothing if you're not good against Utah. If you
I just did all
shot.
This research, Dan. You gonna fire me? Oh, no, come on.
You were solid today, because that was – I was not looking forward to going through all those permutations of potentially what could happen.
I stayed up all night writing this all down.
Yeah, right. By the way, you got the show tomorrow?
Yes. Yeah, so game tips off at 12:30. Pre-game is at 11:30. I'll be live from Ballast Point on 16th Street, just west of Chase Center. So if you're headed to the game, you're in the area, stop by Ballast Point. Live at 11:30, but get there earlier. I'll be there maybe 45 minutes before the show. So 10:45, stop by, say what's up, grab yourself something to eat before heading to Chase. Pre-game coverage, 11:30. Game tips off at 12:30 tomorrow.
It's the Warriors and the Utah Jazz to conclude the season, and then we will know how all of this shakes out as the Golden State Warriors season, as well as the entire campaign, will come to an official end. We'll talk about it next week for another edition of Warriors This Week from a man, Mark Grandy. You can hear him tomorrow with a pregame show. This is Dan Avone saying enjoy the rest of the weekend. So long, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.